The title of our Sunday school lesson today is A Blessing and a Curse. And our devotional and background study comes from the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 1 through 23. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all his land. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until ye came into this place. And what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben. How the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go in to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up your words in your heart. Therefore shall ye lay up these words. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class. Our lesson text takes up where we stopped reading in the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy. The picks up on the 24th verse, and that says, "Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down, in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Morah? For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein. And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. And these are words that were spoken unto the children of Israel right before they went over into the promised land, the land of Canaan. And God is telling them here that if they will obey him and serve him and do as he's commanded, he'll take care of them. He'll bless them. Their land is going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. They'll be prosperous and rich, and no man can stand against them. That all these other nations are going to fear them, and they're going to dread them, and they're going to be their the children of Israel shall overcome these other people. But it's all contingent upon the children of Israel obeying the Lord their God. Now, as I studied this and I tried to think upon it about what I'm going to say and everything, and I couldn't help but think about the plan of salvation. And the thought that came to my mind about the plan of salvation is it's a pretty simple plan. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. People don't need to be highly intelligent to understand the plan of salvation when it's presented to them in the right manner. I believe anybody that has a normal mind, by normal I mean not physically, there's something wrong with them, they can understand about repentance and about turning to God and asking for forgiveness. They can understand when the Spirit of the Lord knocks upon their hearts and they're brought under conviction. It's not complicated. People want to make it complicated sometimes. And by people, I'm talking about the world. They start entering things in about works and things that need to be done and actions taken and thoughts or prayers prayed or hands shake. They muddy it up. They make it complicated. But as God gave it, he sent his only begotten Son to die upon the cross. It's not hard to understand. It's not complicated. And the reason that I bring that up is because this blessing and this curse here that's presented to these people wasn't that complicated. It wasn't hard for them to understand, because it can be boiled down to serve God and worship him, obey him. Now, they are going to be given a lot of commandments, a lot of offerings to be done and ways of doing things. And if I go back and I try to read it and I try to understand, it's kind of complicated to me. I don't understand all that. But the main thing was that they needed to obey God and serve him. And that's the same situation that we're in today, to obey God and to serve him. I hadn't planned on this verse. I don't have it marked, but over in, I've brought it up before in the past. In Ecclesiastes, it says, in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiasties, in the 13th verse, says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." That's our duty. That's it. That sums up the whole duty of our entire life, to fear God and keep His commandments. Now, it wasn't really any different at all for this children of Israel. As they're preparing to go over into the land of Canaan, they were to fear God and keep His commandments. Now, they're going to have some commandments here that to me seem a little bit complicated, but I don't believe it was for them. I believe they understood and knew what to do, how to do it, and everything. But from what I'm thinking here is, in my mind, it gets muddied up, but that's not God's fault. It wasn't unclear for this people. Now, bringing all this forward to our present day, because we are not commanded to offer up burnt offerings. We're not supposed to be making a fire here and putting a sheep or a goat or whatever it was on it, and we're not to be taking the blood of any a dove, or I don't know how their sacrifices were. We're not to do any of that. That's all been done away with, because that was all foreshadowing the coming of Christ. It was all a symbol and a shadow of the coming of Christ. And it's been done away with because Christ has come and given Himself on the cross at Calvary. Let's see, let me turn over to Matthew chapter 22. Verses 37 through 40. This is Jesus. Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Jesus is speaking to the Jews here. These are scribes and Pharisees. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What he's saying is, if you do these two things, you're going to cover all these other laws and all these other commandments. If you'll love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul, and the second, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, the other things are going to be taken care of. Now let's go for just a second . Well, I thought I marked this morning, but I did not. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, if we as God's people follow this, love the neighbor as thyself, love other people as I love myself, it covers these other things. Now, it doesn't mean that these other things are okay, that I can go do these other things. As long as I have love in my heart for all the people I know, then these other things are okay for me to do. That's not what it means. That means is, if I truly love other people the way that I ought to, if I have a concern for their souls, for their well-being, if I want to see them saved, if I want to see them prosper, if I want to see everything go okay, if that's truly the way that I feel, then I'm not going to steal from them. I'm not going to covet what they have. I'm not going to bear false witness. I won't do that. Because you wouldn't do that to somebody that you love. You wouldn't go steal something from somebody you love. And any other commandments, you wouldn't do anything to harm them. You wouldn't do anything that would maybe throw a stumbling block in their way. If you truly love your neighbor, you won't do those things. And so because of that, all these other things are comprehended in or covered by thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That was what the Lord was telling the Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees, that's why all the law hung upon these two things, to love other people and to love God. To put those people and to put God before ourselves. And so as I read it and I studied, I believe the proper order is put God first above everything, above myself, above other people. The second thing is to put other people above myself. Okay, the first part is kind of difficult. It's the warfare of the natural man versus the spiritual man. We don't want to put God above ourselves. I kind of get wrapped up in myself, what I want to do, where I want to go, what I want to think. It's hard for me to put that aside and to seek after the things that God would want me to do, to put Him first, to love Him above myself. Then you go on down to that second part, and to love thy neighbor as thyself, to put them above yourself. Well, that's really hard to do. But that's what the Lord commanded us to do, to put them first, to not be thinking about ourselves so much, but rather to put those people first. Almost done, y'all. Let me turn over to Matthew 24. And 30, starting Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. And this is Jesus speaking about the end of time, the last days. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now it says here that they were drinking and eating, marrying and giving in marriage. They were doing these things. They weren't worshiping God. They weren't putting God first. They weren't having a love in their heart for their other man. Eating and drinking, they were fulfilling the desires of the flesh. You know, our body gets hungry, it gets thirsty. We need food, and it's not wrong to eat. Don't misunderstand me. That's we have to do that, and that's not at all displeasing to God. But when we put the fleshly needs before God, before the spiritual needs, because we have spiritual needs, just like we have fleshly needs, and those spiritual needs ought to be coming first. But that's not what was going on in the days of Noah. The fleshly need for food and water and marriage, they were not only putting that first, but that was evidently the only thing that they were out there with. They weren't taking care of any spiritual needs at all. And the Lord's telling us that before He returns in His second coming, that's the way it's going to be again. People aren't going to be putting the spiritual needs out there at all. They're not going to be taking care of it. And I believe that this is applies to God's people. God's people are going to neglect the spiritual needs. They're going to be concentrating on the things of the body, the food and the water, and the pleasures of this world. Because he goes on to say that because of iniquity, the The love of many shall grow cold. The love of God by God's people is going to grow cold because of sin, because that people are going to be desiring the fleshly things, the things that appeal to us, the fun things, not necessarily evil things, but just things in general, is going to be enticing to God's people. And we're going to drop the things that were commanded for us to do, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And there's a lot of things in the Bible about love, how that we're to love our enemies. You know, it's not difficult for me to have a love for y'all. It's not difficult for me to be concerned when Jimmy asked prayer for his mother. I want his mother to be okay. When Cindy asked prayer for her children, I understand that. I feel the same way. I want y'all to pray for my children. That's not hard to do. And it's not hard really to feel it in your heart. I think that all of y'all are in the same condition. It's a little bit harder to be to have those feelings of concern for the people of the world sometimes. It doesn't come easy. But I think the Lord's telling us, I know He's telling us, the whole world is our neighbor. We need to be concerned about those things. We need to want to see them be saved. We want to see them get away from the things, the evil things, to escape the clutches of Satan, because the world is in the clutches of Satan. Satan is devouring this world. He's devouring our churches and our families. I've said that before in the past, and it's true. It's going on. And it happens because God's people don't have the love that they need. They're not so concerned with it. It's like, wow, that's bad. It's bad what's going on in the world. But it doesn't bother us the way that it ought to. And I'm speaking for myself. It doesn't get to us the way that it needs to. We see those people out there getting consumed, and it should really upset us. And it just kind of like, well, that's really bad. I hate to see that happen. That's not what the Lord was saying. He was saying love those people. Have a desire for them to change their ways, to be changed by God. You know, not to change their ways as in make a U-turn and do better, but to have God in their lives, for God to enter into their lives and bring them to a place of repentance that they might turn to Him. That's the love for our neighbors that we ought to have. And that's where the blessing and the curse comes in. When God's people has that desire for other people that they might be turned around by God, then God will look down and He'll be pleased with His people and He will bless them. But when they don't, when they're just like, bad things are happening, it's bad everywhere, they need to quit that. When it's just a mental thing, then it's not going to do much good. I mean, yeah, it's bad and I know it in my mind, but the Lord was talking about in our hearts to be concerned, to put those people first, to put other people first. That's what He's telling them. Now, we just studied this in the Old Testament about what He told, what the children of Israel were told before they went over into to possess this land of Canaan. And He said, "And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgment which I set before you this day." But it all boiled down to, as Jesus said, if you love your neighbor, all those other things are comprehended in that. It's all covered by love your neighbor. Love the Lord your God. Jesus loved the world so much that he died upon the cross. He gave His life upon the cross. God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, you can't talk about that enough. You can't teach that enough, that we as His people need to put ourselves aside and be concerned with other people. You know, here in the devotion background study, it talked about writing the words on your doorpost at your house, putting it on the gate as you enter in and come out. Speak these words to your children when you rise up, when you sit down. In other words, keep the things of God before yourselves, before your eyes constantly. Keep them before your children constantly, was what he was saying. And Jesus said that all these things are comprehended briefly in love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So that's not a whole lot to keep in front of our eyes. He said if you do those things, all the other things are going to fall into place. You'll keep the other things. If you do these two things, those other things will be right behind them. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. It's not hard to understand. None of us has to be really smart to grasp this. I believe y'all all are capable of understanding it. I believe anybody that's been saved by God and has His Spirit in their heart, if they stop and they meditate upon it and they think about it and they truly ask God, where do you want me? Where do you want me to be today? What do you want me to do? Let your thoughts be in my mind, God. I believe He'll answer that. I believe He will do that. And we'll know what it is, who we're to talk to, who we're to witness to, who we're just to stand up in front of and be there for them if they need help. He'll let us know these things. But it all comes down to putting ourselves third, not second, but third. That's all that I've got today. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments?
I remember Donnie Hines saying one time, love that God as thyself. He says it's a good thing to do, but he says it's awful hard to do. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But you love yourself a lot.
You do. You do. Even, you know, you do. And it's really difficult to put yourself to the side.
Mm-hmm. Terry, I was thinking that, you know, we would all sit here and tell you that we love the Lord. I mean, I don't think anybody here would argue that at all. But do we do everything we do out of love for Him? You know, are we just do it because it's the right thing to do, or it's what expected of us, or what we think people expect of us? Or do we do it out of the love that we have for the Lord? And I think that's something that Lisa's helped me really look at lately, is the love of the Lord and doing what we do out of the love for Him. And there's a lot of things in my world, even just simple things that take up my time, that I shouldn't do. Because, you know, by really loving, there's so much stuff to do for Him. I mean, there's just things, and the things that we fill our world with that are just so unimportant. But, you know, it's something that I've really looked at lately that's really heavy on me, is to do what I do for the love of the Lord. And I think that things will change for me. I'm trying to look at things a little differently. And there's no doubt on my heart that I love the Lord, but I don't believe that I walk and do out of the love of Him. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Are you following me with that? And I loved your lesson. I thought that was great. I think everything you said was exactly just point on. I love the food for thought. Actually, life is completely formed around two choices, formulated by three little words that make us who we are, namely, if, and but. And I think the but is the worst one there, mm-hmm. because that's that rationality that we have. But, you know, today it's okay because, or, you know, if I had time, you know, there's just, I looked at those three words and they say a lot to me. And so I think you're spot on with that lesson. I think that Jesus knew exactly right. If we loved and we did everything out of the love of the Lord, and then if we loved everyone, man, really? Now we can sit and say we do, but do we really? Do we really walk it, or do we just say it? They're not the same. And Lisa's really brought that to me lately. She's and I've had some conversation of this. The Lord's been all over her this last year, and it's really through her has affected me, because I see the light in her eye, and I want that. I've had it, but I've gotten away from it, and I miss it. Does that make sense? So I enjoyed your lesson.
Those three words that you were talking about, those are just the openings for the excuse.
Yes.
As to why
exactly.
You didn't do, yeah. Or why you did do, right. Whatever you did. It was just right after that comes the excuse. So
somewhere in there's the devil. He lives in that story.
Yeah. And it's a constant back and forth. It is. It really is. So. Let's keep the prayer request on our hearts. Everybody's, we're all done. Let's be dismissed. Don, would you dismiss us?
Thank you for what you told us. Pray, Lord, that we might find this in our heart and thank of us to go home and we might live. Lord, ask now to go with us and be with us, help us as we go in our morning worship. Pray for man's will to be a prayer, Lord, that we might do it in the matter we please in the other day. Ask now that you might go with us to our home and places to study and get us back together the next time. It was a blessing to ask in the name of Jesus for a sacred prayer. Amen.
Thank you.